Hi, audience. Thank you for coming. Yeah, so how do you think of our young people's performance, their song, their skit, and their testimony? Yeah. I like it. I enjoy it. And very touching. Thank you so much. And have you noticed there is a common theme in their performance, in their song, in their skit, and in their testimonies? What is the common theme? Thank you. Yes, and so we are going to explore further about who Jesus is. And this is not a new question, in fact, but you know, I will next share with you according to Jesus who he is, and then I will share with you and how Jesus transformed me, and then I will explain to you everyone of us needs Jesus. Jesus asked this question 2,000 years ago to his closest friends and followers. Let's read Matthew 16, 13 to 17. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Back then, people had all sorts of ideas about Jesus. Some thought he was pretending to be God, but many more thought he was a great prophet. Today is not much different. Many people don't know who Jesus is, and many think they know. You may have heard some people say, "He's a good man, he's a role model, he's a good teacher, a religious leader, he's a prophet." These answers echo what people said in Jesus' time. But there's much more. Jesus wants us to have a deeper and more personal understanding of him. So he has asked this question, "What do you say I am?" At that time, he put forward this question to his followers. But today, he also puts forward this question to each of us. So, who do you say Jesus is? He's God. Say it again. God. Christ. Yeah. Correct answer. Peter's answer was same with you. Very bold, very, very true. "You are the Christ, the Son of living God." And how did Jesus comment on this reaction? Jesus said, "Good, you said correct. This is the true answer. That's the truth. And this truth was not from your intelligence. It is revealed from God." So in other words, in Jesus' own mind, he knows he is the Christ. But what does Christ mean? Yeah, say it again. Great. According to the Greek word, this word means the anointed. In Hebrew, it means the Messiah, the Savior. What does anointed mean? In Old Testament era, when someone was set apart for God's service, like to be a king, to be a priest, to be a prophet, and the precious oil would be poured on his head. That's a ceremony to set this person apart. What was Jesus set apart for? He was set apart to be the promised Messiah, the Savior. He was set apart to be the mediator, to make reconciliation between human and God. And he was set apart to be the King. Today, Jesus rules in our heart. In the future, he will rule the whole universe when he comes back. And he's also set apart to be God's messengers. His message was, the kingdom of heaven is close. Repent and believe. As to this knowledge, Jesus is the Christ. How did Peter receive this knowledge? As Jesus said, it was not a product of his own intelligence, his own logic, his reasoning, his scientific experiment. It is from God. When God revealed this knowledge to him, either through word or his spirit or any mysterious ways, how did Peter respond to this knowledge? Peter did not argue against God. Peter, with an open mind, simply accepted it. So, can Peter produce this knowledge by his own intelligence, his own smartness, cleverness, logic, reasoning? No, no one can. Can anyone here reach such a conclusion? Jesus is the Christ by your intelligence, by your reasoning, by your logic, by your scientific experiment? Honestly, no. This knowledge is beyond human discovery. It is a gift from God. Unless it is revealed by God to us through his word and his spirit, we have no way to know it. Like Peter, today we are invited to sit here. To do what? To hear this message and to accept it if possible. Not to debate it with our limited knowledge and our faulty logic. The question, who is Jesus to you, isn't just theological. It's deeply personal and life-changing. Your answer does not only influence, determine where you will go after this life, either go to heaven or go to hell, but it also shapes every part of our existence right now. It affects how we face challenges, how we love others, how we find a purpose. Let me share with you my own story of how I find the correct answer and how Jesus transformed my life decades ago, many, many years ago. I first heard about Jesus from some missionaries. They told me, Jesus is a savior. I was confused. Save me from what? I asked. From your sins, he replied. I pushed back. I don't have any sins. I'm a good person. I'm kind. I'm polite. I'm helpful. I'm moral. Plus, this idea of Jesus does not sound scientific. And furthermore, quite a number of teachings in the Bible does not make sense to me. Turn my right cheek when someone hurts me? Why should I do so? But over the next few years, and I made friends with Christians, I was struck by their love, joy, and peace. Even when people treated them poorly, they responded with kindness. I thought, man, I want to be like them. They told me, but it was because of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. If you want this life, you need to know him first. So I had to reconsider about sin and the Savior things. Maybe I'm not as perfect as I thought. Maybe I have some flaws, a little sin. And if that's true, perhaps Jesus really is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior I need. So that was my first step. I began calling myself a Christian. But it was not until 2 years later that I truly understood my own sinfulness. I admitted, yes, Jesus, you are right. I'm a sinner. I really need you. Save me. From that moment, Jesus became my Christ, my Savior, in a deeply meaningful sense. That's how I came to accept Jesus, God's message about Jesus is the Christ. What difference has this made to me? Honestly, too many to count. But let me share three changes I noticed just 1 year after I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Changes I even didn't expect. First, my fear of death was gone. When I was 12, a friend, his brother, was murdered, and it made me to think about death for the first time. I suddenly realized, I'm going to die someday too. And that thought terrified me. 8 years at most, then I'd be gone. No more me, like I never existed. The concept of no more existence of me really scared me to such a degree that I wanted to scream, to drive the fear away. So I had to think about something else, to force myself to thinking something else. But, you know, the fear would creep up from time to time. And each time I had to distract myself to cope with this fear. But 1 year after following Jesus, I suddenly realized this fear was gone. I have been a Christian now nearly 30 years, and this fear never comes back. Why? Because Jesus has given me eternal life. Second, my emotion was healed. I have always been an optimistic and outgoing person. But formerly, I still used to feel ignored or disrespected from time to time. This kind of feeling puts me in a sad mood. And after becoming a Christian, believing Jesus, the sadness vanished. And I never felt the same ignored, disrespected for the past 30 years. It was replaced by a deep joy and peace. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Lord of my emotion also. Third, I began to understand, to know what is right and is wrong. When I was around this young people's age, you know, no, I'm not. That's something pity. And I used to be very confused about what is right and what is wrong. So I behaved inconsistently. And, you know, but after reading through the Bible for the first time, suddenly everything became clear. It was like the world and even my heart, and it became transparent. You know why? Because God is the creator. He created the world. He created me. He knows how we were formed by knowing God's law, God's rules, and there will be no confusion. So this clarity guided me ever since. There are so many other ways Jesus has changed me. He is the Lord of my marriage. He kept me. He has kept me grounded. Without him, you know, my sinful nature might have led me to multiple marriages and divorces. Jesus is the king in my parenting. I have learned that my kids' best memories of me are tied to the times I let Jesus to be my king. And their hard times memories come from when I didn't. Jesus has brought meaning, joy, and wisdom into every part of my life. In fact, not just me, but everyone here needs Jesus. Why? Because God created the universe. He created us. He is the love. He is the light. He wants the best for us. Eternal life, joy, peace, purpose, wisdom. He wants to care for us. He wants to protect us, guide us. He wants to have a close relationship with us. But there is a problem. Sin. When we chase after worldly things, health, wealth, beauty, knowledge, money, fame, power, success, we often become very proud. We think, I'm good enough. I can be my own king. I can be my own God. But when we try to walk our own way, to leave Jesus, leave God, we will fall into Satan's trap. Greediness, hatred, pride, jealousy, bitterness, selfishness grow in our hearts. And we end up living in darkness, separated from God's love and light. This separation does not only hurt God, but also hurt others and ourselves. Sin has broken the world. Looking at the world around us, instead of seeing peace, love, kindness, we see wars, conflicts, fights, crimes, and broken relationships. Many heroes, many reformers and leaders stood up and say, let's fix the world. But they all failed because they only focused on systems and institutions. They did not pay attention, enough attention to the root problem. What is the root problem? Sin. You are right. And they could not fix the world, let alone fix themselves. They and us all are broken. In your imagination, you know what kind of person you want to be, right? In your imagination, you are kind. You are loving. You are brave. You are forgiving. You are patient. You are joyful. You are peaceful. You have good, strong relationships, right? But too often, we are disappointing. We are disencouraging. We are fearful. We are anxious. We are selfish. We are bitter. Our relationships suffer, and we fall short who we want to be. We did not live up to the image in our mind. That image can reflect God. Why? Because of sin. Sin separates us from God, from our loved ones, and even from our true self. And sin has a cost. That is death. It leads to eternal separation from God, a punishment of destruction apart from His presence. How can we be free from sin? Can anyone erase his or her own sin? Some people may think, if I cannot, at least I can do enough good deeds. I can by this balance out my sins. But that doesn't work. Imagine, here's a cup of clean water. Pure, colorless. If you drop just a little bit of ink in it, the water changes color. Adding more clean water might lighten the shade. But would you drink it? Why don't you drink it? It's clean now. Even we claim it's clean, it's still impure. And we know that's how it is with our sin. No amount of good deeds can remove the stain. But here is the good news. When we were helpless, God reached out to us. He sent His only Son, Jesus, to save us. How to save us? Just now, I have mentioned, the wages of sin is death. Jesus came to substitute for us, to take the penalty for us. He died for us. He is God himself. He came to earth as a man. His name on the earth is Jesus. That means God lived among us, human, for 33 years in history. He performed many miracles only God could do, and called us to repent and follow him. But his ultimate mission was to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus was arrested, trialed, humiliated, tortured, and crucified. Soldiers pierced his heart to confirm his death. Why did he choose to suffer like this? Because as a father has compassion on his children, so Jesus has compassion on us. He loves us, so he suffers for us. But on the third day, he rose again. He appeared to his followers for 40 days. That proved he's God. He's the Lord of life and death. There's an interesting antidote. You know, Jesus has 12 apostles, disciples, or students. They used to think they will stick with Jesus to the end. They were loyal. They could be loyal to death. But seeing Jesus arrested and tortured and crucified, they were so scared, they ran away. They deserted Jesus. They dared not to show up anymore because the government was looking for them. But when Jesus rose again, showed himself to them, suddenly their dead hearts were revived. They began to believe now. They believe they can still live on after this life, just like Jesus. Before 500 witnesses, Jesus ascended to heaven, promising he will come back one day to establish a new heaven and a new earth. His followers will reign with him forever. As Romans 6:23 say, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8 reminds us, God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. God loves me. Even when we did not know him, even when we deny him, even when we reject him, he loves us. He loves you and he loves me. He sent his son, Jesus. He shed blood for our sins. Now, God has stretched out his hand to us. If we can grasp his hand, we will be saved out of hell. Just now, I have shared with you about who Jesus is according to the Bible. Who Jesus is? He is the Christ. He is the Savior, the King. This message is not from me. This message is from God, just as Jesus said. This message is not from flesh and blood. It's from God. So, how will you answer? Who Jesus is to you now? I encourage you to follow Peter's example. Accept God's message with faith, rather than reshaping Jesus based on our logic and ideas. How to accept Jesus? Very simple. A, B, C. A stands for admit, I'm a sinner. B, believe Jesus is your Christ and the Savior. C, commit your life to Him. If you have never known Jesus as your Christ and the Savior, but want to give a try or accept Him today, and a little while later, I encourage you to stay and we can chat more. Now we are going to take a quiet time to focus on Jesus' name. We will close our eyes, and then I may invite you to raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus as your Christ, your Savior. Okay, now we can close our eyes. We won't get rid of all other thoughts. We only focus our thoughts on Jesus. Jesus is here. He promises to be with us. He promises that He will be with those who fear Him and accept Him. He loves us. We give our hearts to Jesus. No corner is hidden from Him. We want His light to shine into our heart. Drive away any darkness. If you want to admit Jesus as Christ the Savior because you have not done so, would you raise your hand? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing Jesus to us as the Christ, the Savior. For those who raise their hands or raise their hands in their heart, I pray you fill them with your peace and joy. Help them grow in knowing you day by day. For all of us, please guide us to follow you as our King every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. After our dismissal, and please feel free to stay, and our youth have been well trained to share Jesus with you and about who Jesus is and how to accept Him. And also, they can share with you how to train others. They are very good at this. They have been practicing this for quite a long time, a few years, right?